T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Christopher, let's go. Glad that you're hanging out here with me. We are talking about a lot of stuff. Thanks to Layla Rahimi, by the way, who hung out with us. And it got a little bit out of control, as per usual. It's what we like about having Layla here and hanging out with us on the show. She's tremendous, and you should follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Layla Rahimi and watch her on NBC Sports Chicago. Vic Fangio is the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. We've been talking about that a lot tonight. Thought we'd get a perspective from a man who has lived a lot of his life here in Chicago and now works out in Denver at Orange and Blue 760. Our buddy Brandon Cristal joins us here on The Score. What's up, BK?
Lawrence, is it past the threshold where you can say Happy New Year?
No, man, we can say Happy New Year to each other. That's okay. Totally fine.
It's still kind of a new year.
Yeah.
The real question is, how excited are you about Captain Marvel coming in a couple months?
I'm really jacked for Captain Marvel and for the Avengers Endgame, all of that stuff. Like, I'm super excited about it. I'll tell you this much. I've been trying to tell people that are digging comic book stuff, Titans on the DC app is really, really good, and I think that people should watch it. So people for some reason think that I'm only a Marvel guy when my favorite superhero is Green Lantern. But I digress. I am looking forward to both the Captain Marvel movie and Avengers Endgame. But in between time, people should be streaming Titans on the DC app because it's fantastic. And don't – I wouldn't see Aquaman more than once. See it once, because you need to see it.
I need to see it. I still haven't seen it. We had a baby in August, and so the only movie that I've been to, I took my 12-year-old to see the Wreck-It Ralph movie. But other than that, I have not been to the movies. And, you know, I'm a big movie guy. Not just superhero movies, all movies, and Aquaman's high on the list, but it's hard to leave the house other than to go to work and go to the Broncos facility. That's about the only time I leave the house.
Well, I'm guessing that you're going to be going to the Broncos facility soon for an introductory press conference on Vic Fangio. So what's the mood there like in Denver with this hire?
Well, I think it depends on who you ask. It's interesting because 5 head coaches have now landed gigs, and I'm excited that Adam Gase, a guy who spent 1 year there in Chicago, is with the Jets. I think that's going to be a good fit. But 5 of the 6 coaches are coaches with offensive backgrounds, offensive-minded coaches. And in Denver, they're the lone defensive-minded hire to this point, with Vic Fangio coming in. But right away, you find out that he's being given, forced to take, however you want to look at it, Gary Kubiak as his offensive coordinator and play caller. And so is that good? Is that bad? I think it depends on your perspective. Everyone's nostalgic, and because Gary Kubiak, like John Elway, and obviously to a lesser degree, but has been a part of the Broncos for the better part of his adult life since 1983 when he came in as a player, and actually, really fun story real quick. Gary Kubiak drafted by the Broncos. John Elway, of course, drafted by the Colts, goes to spring training with the Yankees, gets sent over by the Colts to the Broncos. Gary Kubiak, after the first day of minicamp, calls his dad and says, "Dad, I don't think I'm going to be the starting quarterback here. This is Elway guy. I can throw the ball pretty well." But so Gary Kubiak is kind of woven into the fabric of the Broncos. So if you're nostalgic like that, he was the OC. Obviously, Mike Shanahan called plays when they won the Super Bowls in the 90s. Head coach called the plays when they won it in 2015. He's a football lifer. He doesn't want the stresses of being a head coach, but he loves calling plays and loves teaching football. So he'll handle the offense. Vic Fangio will handle the defense. And there's plenty of people, and we took calls all day on Orange and Blue 760 and then on KOA, the Broncos flagship, that are excited about this pairing. I'm going to reserve judgment because it doesn't feel very creative, but that doesn't mean it won't work. And so that's why I'm not going to just scoff at this notion that a 60-year-old head coach and a 58-year-old offensive coordinator can't get the job done, because there's no guarantees that these 30-somethings that are getting hired, and now Adam Gase will be 41 in March, are slam dunks either. It's just, it doesn't feel very fresh.
What's going on with ownership in Denver? Because I know that there's been some real issues and a lot of health issues. Is that on solid ground right now?
Again, it kind of depends on who you ask. And how long is your show on for? Another 3-4 hours? Because that's about how long it takes to unpack all this. So we'll try to give you the Cliff Notes Reader's Digest version. Pat Bowlen, who is still with us but has been battling Alzheimer's for multiple years now, and whether that goes all the way back to 06 when it was perhaps first detected and there's one report or part of a lawsuit that says that, or a couple years ago in 2014 when he, quote, stepped down and handed the day-to-day operations to Joe Ellis, longtime team president, to now run everything. That's up for debate. But he's battling Alzheimer's. First marriage, 5 from his second marriage to his current wife, Annabelle. The plan that was put in place well before he stepped down in 2014, years and years ago, was the team would be held and run by a trust. And when one of his 7 kids emerged as the clear-cut, obvious heir apparent to run the organization, they would be given full control of the team. The profits would be split evenly among the 7 kids, so the money wouldn't be any different, but whoever handled the day-to-day would be one child. His oldest daughter, Beth Bowler, second oldest, she's wanted the job. There's all these stipulations. You got to work for the team for 5 years. You have to have a graduate degree, an MBA, or a law degree, and she has a law degree. She hasn't worked for the team for 5 years. She was let go after 3 years. She's not suing the team. Some of his family members are. He bought the team with a couple of his brothers. So one of his brothers, who has no claim to the team, has filed a lawsuit. Part of the trust agreement says that if any of the 7 kids bring any litigation themselves, they will be immediately excluded from the process and not given a chance to own the team and will lose their share. So Beth Bowlen or any of her other siblings can't sue each other. They can just make it known they want to own the team and complain a little bit. That's what she did. The daughter, Brittany, who's 28, from his current wife, she is the likely heir apparent, but she's working for a consulting firm. She has an MBA from Duke. She just started this consulting job. So it's all being run by Joe Ellis at the family's direction, or Pat Bowlen's direction, and the NFL's fine with it. The NFL's not freaking out. They like Joe Ellis. He's worked in the league office. He's worked around the Broncos for the better part of 40 years, and they're fine with him representing the team at owners' meetings. And it's funny because we have people that'll freak out and say, oh, well, if the owner was different, Elway wouldn't be here, da-da-da-da. Like, well, no, that's not true. Pat Bowlen loved John Elway. Maybe if one of these kids didn't, that might change who's running the show. But likely not. John Elway has been running the show and went to 5 straight playoff appearances, won the division 5 years in a row, and went to 2 Super Bowls and won one. So I don't think the ownership situation is as big a factor as other people do, but it is an issue.
Okay, well then let's talk about the job that Elway's done since winning the Super Bowl. How happy are people in Denver with the choices that he's made?
Not very, until this year's draft class. It's funny because his drafts haven't been great. He hit a home run with Von Miller in 2011. He's found some free agent undrafted guys that have turned out to be gems, like C.J. Anderson and Chris Harris Jr., who have, obviously Chris Harris, gone to 3 Pro Bowls. Julius Thomas he drafted, who obviously had some really good years. And that's about it on the draft front in terms of home runs till this year's draft class, with a lot of good players. Philip Lindsay, undrafted, but a Rookie of the Year candidate. Bradley Chubb, obviously living up to the hype as the number 5 pick. But in between that, it's been a lot more misses than hits in the draft. In free agency, though, he's hit home run after home run, from DeMarcus Ware to DJ Ward, Aqib Talib, Emmanuel Sanders, and then throwing some lesser vets, but guys that played well, like Evan Mathis, Luis Vasquez. Those guys started at guard in the Super Bowl. Ryan Harris, who had originally began his career, bounced around, came in, played left tackle in the Super Bowl. So it's been really good on the pro side, really suspect on the college side drafting guys. And the biggest issue, he hasn't had a quarterback other than Peyton Manning, and he missed on the Brock Osweiler pick, even though he ended up not giving him $64 million like he wanted to, and he took 68 from Houston. Still a miss. And then he obviously missed on Paxton Lynch as the number 1 pick just a couple years ago. and question marks about Garrett Bowles, the number one pick from 2 years ago at left tackle. So there's definitely people that think John Elway's time here should be on a clock. He's got 3 years left on his contract. And the biggest issue with John Elway is John Elway in a lot of ways. He can be impulsive. He can be more involved than most GMs should be at times. Then he can disappear because he's still John Elway and has golf to play and has events to tend to and $100 million in the bank and all these businesses and steakhouses and car dealerships. So it's people that are always going to love John Elway. I've told you this before on your show, Lawrence. If there's a Mount Rushmore of either Broncos and or Colorado sports, John gets his own mountain, then you can figure out who's going to go on the other mountain with four other people. And so that will likely never change. But also, John knows how to keep score. And that's, I think, why he likes steakhouses, because he can count how many steaks are sold. He likes car dealerships, because he can count how many cars are sold. He knows that they've lost more than they've won the last couple of years. First time they've had back-to-back losing seasons since the early 70s. And Pat Bowlen's going to likely be elected to the Hall of Fame the night before the Super Bowl. They can no longer say he's got more Super Bowl appearances than losing seasons since buying the team in 84. Prior to this year, it was 7 appearances, 6 losing seasons. A 6-10 year, it's now 7 losing seasons to go with those 7 Super Bowl appearances. So John Elway knows that it's on him, but he's not going to fire himself. He said that at the press conference when they got rid of Vance Joseph. He's like, I have to look in the mirror. A lot of this is my fault, but we still have to do better. So that's kind of where the Broncos are today, and they hope that Vic Fangio can handle the job of being a head coach, and then he'll have Gary Kubiak to lean on for a lot of it, and John Elway overseeing it. I don't want to say meddling, but certainly more involved than most GMs. But to be fair, now with Ozzie Newsome being retired, and Ryan Pace looks like a hell of a GM, especially when you look at the team he's built. But Ryan Pace isn't in the Hall of Fame, and neither are the other 31 GMs now as players. They're not Hall of Famers. So they can't relate, and they weren't, you know, a top 5 player at quarterback, depending on where you want to rank them, top 5, top 10. So that John Elway's really unique in so many ways, and that's what makes his tenure as GM and now VP or president of football operations just so unique.
Brandon Cristall joining me. You can check him out on Orange and Blue 760 in Denver. He hosts there from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. A longtime friend of this show. Okay, so let's say I wanted to hire Vance Joseph to be the Bears defensive coordinator. Would I get your cosign on that?
100%, because I think he got a bit of a raw deal here. Everything I laid out about Elway, especially with how he built the team and the lack of quarterback, wasn't on Vance Joseph. I think Vance Joseph, when he gets a chance to be a head coach again, will be better for it. And you see that almost everywhere, right? Bill Belichick was better at his second stop. Most coaches are better along the way after getting an opportunity. That's why I'm excited to see what Adam Gase can do in New York, or at least the second opportunity. And he only had 1 year as a defensive coordinator. The Broncos wanted to hire him as defensive coordinator before they brought in Wade Phillips, but the Bengals blocked it. They interviewed Vance to be head coach, hired Gary Kubiak. VJ had worked with Kubes in Houston. He obviously played college ball here at CU, played with the Broncos for a little bit, so they knew him, and they liked him. Well, so he didn't come, and he was in Cincy finishing up his time. Secondary coach, and then he goes with Gase to Miami for a year. Kubiak retires, and he comes right in. But when it comes to football, I think Vance is a really smart football coach. I think he commands the room. I think his players really like him. And we've had a number of Broncos players on the radio with us, and we talked to him leading up to the last game of the season and after the season when Vance was let go. And to a man, they love Vance Joseph. And look, Lawrence, I'm like you in that I know plenty of players away from the locker room, and I'm able to talk to guys. And it was no BS. They legitimately liked Vance and thought that he's a good football coach, that if he was given more time, would win more games. But when it comes to football, he's all ball. And, you know, I talked to him about, like, how he spends his time on the break in between the end of OTAs and minicamp and getting back to coaching when the season rolls around in training camp. And all he does is read books about leadership and coaching. So it's just kind of who he is. There's not a lot of other interest. Not that he doesn't have, you know, a normal worldview, and he's got a lovely wife and a great family. But I think that he'd be fine with that Bears defense and being able to unleash that talent, especially with Khalil Mack, Will he be better than Vic Fangio? That's impossible at this point. You have the number one defense in football. But could he keep that standard? I think so.
What does Vic have to do now between now and the beginning of the season? Like, what are some of the benchmarks that you're looking at for getting the Broncos back on the right track?
Well, it's tricky again because of Elway's involvement and Kubiak's involvement and the quarterback situation. They have to decide what are they doing at quarterback. The Broncos pick 10. Does that mean they could get to Dwayne Haskins? They can certainly trade up, and their most likely trade partner is to go all the way up to 2, which seems high, to go get one of those quarterbacks. But Haskins, Daniel Jones out of Duke, and Drew Lock out of Missouri are your only first-round graded QBs right now. So do they want to do that? Do they want to bring Case back? Case Keenum's owed $7 million no matter what, even if they cut him tomorrow. A $7 million check gets deposited into his bank account. If they keep him, they owe him $18 million. And if they cut him, he's $10 million against the cap versus, I think, $18 million against the cap. Do they want to go out and get a Joe Flacco, try to make a move for Tyrod Taylor, two guys that Gary Kubiak has coached in Baltimore? Do they want to make a move for someone else? I don't know, but they have to decide, are they going to go all in on one of these young quarterbacks? If they traded for Flacco versus signing him, if the Ravens didn't want to cut him just yet and wanted to trade him, then even with Flacco and cutting Keenum, that's $28 million in quarterback money against the cap, which is, I guess, the going rate for your top dollar QBs. And we saw the top six highest paid QBs aren't in the playoffs this year. But is Joe Flacco worth that? And that's essentially the way you have to look at it. So that's number one. Then they have to shore up the O-line. They have to decide, are they bringing Matt Paradis back at center, a guy that had never missed a start in his first three seasons until he got hurt in the middle of the year and went on IR. He's an unrestricted free agent. So they have to decide there. He has really good run blocking technique and is solid in the pass. Then they have to decide Emmanuel Sanders coming off on Achilles. Are they bringing him back? You can't cut a guy while he's hurt, but once he's healthy, do you bring back a 32-year-old who was your best wide receiver? So they have to decide those bigger names, and then they have to address their cornerback situation as well. Bradley Roby's a free agent, a first-round pick 5 years ago, and he didn't have a great year in a contract here. Chris Harris has 1 year left on his deal. He's gone to multiple Pro Bowls. He doesn't want to come back and play for $8.5 million. He wants a new deal. He wants to be paid like a top-10 corner because that's what he's been every year for the last 6 or 7 years. And so they have to address all that and then look at free agency. There are guys out there. Kareem Jackson's out there. There's moves that you can make for other guys. But it's not a total rebuild here. And that's why I think John Elway hired Vic Fangio and brought Gary Kubiak back. I think John Elway wants the last 3 years of his time as the president of football ops and GM of the Broncos to be focused on winning now and hopefully setting up some sort of future winning. But he doesn't have time to sit through a rebuild. He doesn't want more losing seasons. He wants competitive 9-win, 10-win seasons that'll get you into the playoffs and see where that goes. But there's not a clear-cut answer for where Vic goes first because John Elway's making him keep most of the assistant coaches, and a lot of them Vic has relationships with already from having coached for 32 years in the NFL. So there's no number one thing other than what are we doing at quarterback. That's not totally on Vic, but that's the number one question you have to ask yourself at every NFL job, no matter where the team is.
BK, I appreciate the time and the information, my man. You're going to have a lot of fun with Vic. He's a good dude.
I'm looking forward to it. I guess he starts every press conference talking about the Cubbies. So is he a Joe Madden guy or is he a huge Cubs fan, even though he's from Pennsylvania?
He's a Cub guy and he's a huge Joe Madden fan.
Okay, so it's a little bit of both.
And he was the guy that he predicted they'd win the World Series in 16.
All right, well, that turned out to be a pretty good prediction. And so hopefully he'll give us some sort of prediction like that on the Broncos winning the Super Bowl. Here's a real question for you.
I doubt that very much.
Is Robbie Gould going to be the Bears kicker? They still owe Cody Parkey a bunch of money. It's crazy that Robbie's hanging out in the stands as a fan watching the game the other day. I bet you he would have made that kick. That's all I'm saying.
I bet he would have made it, too. He is a free agent. We'll see what the Bears end up doing. Brandon, thanks, my man.
All right, thanks, Lawrence. I'll talk to you soon.
That's Brandon Cristal from 760 in Denver. We need to take a break. Remember the great call, the Philadelphia Spanish call of the Parkey field goal block? I want to share it with you and then tell you a story behind it. All right, we'll do that next here on The Score. So while the show has been going on, I try to monitor what's going on my Twitter account. And our friend Sierra Santos tweeted something out that bummed me out. Apparently, Fiesta Mexicana in Linkin Park is going to close tomorrow. It's going to be like their last night. So Sierra is actually going to be bartending over there tomorrow from 9 and... Is she going to be bartending from 9 until 2? She's going to be over there. There's going to be music. There's going to be all sorts of stuff. Anyone who lived on Linkin Park's campus at DePaul has spent some nights at Fiesta Mexicana. I love that place, so I'm going to try to stop through tomorrow and see Ricardo and everyone else over there. But if you can, Sierra's going to be the guest bartender tomorrow, and she is accepting tips, and the tips go to Live Like a Roo, which is all is a 501(c)(3) foundation that helps animals and their families. So there you have it. That is, oh man, that just bums me out. But I'm going to try to get over there to see Ricardo and everyone at Fiesta Mexicana and be there as my friend Sierra bartends. So damn, that's messed up. All right. So if you love Fiesta Mexicana, maybe I'll see you over there tomorrow night, but it's going down tomorrow. So get over there. One of the cool things about the game Sunday, it doesn't feel cool because it hurts so bad, like Lauryn Hill said, but the call that Philadelphia, the Spanish language call of Philadelphia's home call of the Parkey miss was classic. I don't know if you heard it. Maybe you have. It's been going around the internet. But in case you didn't, this is what it sounded like on Spanish language radio with Parkey missing the kick and it being blocked.
Pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló. Señor, no, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. Los Eagles se van con la victoria. ¡Ay, papá! No, señor. No, señor. Chicago, Chicago. Nos vamos para New Orleans. Philadelphia gana el partido. Le dio el poste.
So that's great. It's an incredible call. When I got home last night, and I texted Herbie as soon as I got home because that's where I saw it, I found out that the guy who made the call, I'm not making this up, his name is Ricky Ricardo. Now, I don't know if he changed it. He is Cuban.
That's a made-up name.
Maybe. Richard. You could also go another way, because I'm sure Bears fans are feeling right now. But I ran across this because the call has been everywhere. In the Philly Inquirer, the headline reads, where did announcer Ricky Ricardo get his no senor call for Sunday's Eagles win?
No senor! Chicago! Chicago! Nos vamos para New Orleans!
Yes, you are going to New Orleans. It reads, if you're measuring social media posts and t-shirt production, it's been Ricky Ricardo's most remarkable call to date, the 37-second narration of Cody Parkey's missed field goal. Ricardo, 57, the Cuban-American sports announcer born in Newark, New Jersey, is the only Spanish-language play-by-play guy the Eagles have had since the team started broadcasting for Hispanic audiences 8 years ago. He was in the booth with analyst Gustavo Salazar at Soldier Field in Chicago waiting for the kick with 75,000 fans. English speakers have been sharing on Twitter his no senor, no senor shouts, but the full translation goes like this. The season is on the foot of Cody Parkey, 43 yards, the snap, he puts his foot in it, distance, direction, it hit the pole. No, he missed the shot. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir. The Eagles go with the victory. Oh, daddy, no, sir. Chicago, Chicago. We're going to New Orleans. Philadelphia wins. For 38 years, Ricardo has been a broadcaster for commercial radio, starting in Orlando before making his way to New York City, where he hosted the renowned Spanish language talk show El Vacilón de la Mañana with Luis Jimenez and co-founded the first La Mega radio station with Alfredo Alonso. So they asked him some questions about this. Is this your signature call for field goals? Do you have one for touchdowns? He says, the terminology used to broadcast football in Spanish for words like quarterback or touchdown come from a guy created by Mexican former player and NFL analyst Raul Alegre. My calling is si, señor, yes, sir, when a field goal ball hits in the right direction. Last night was the opposite. No, sir, was the calling because it fell in front of the pole. And I burst into Hispanic emotion. How did this become your call? Ricardo says, during these years of work with the Eagles, I've wanted to simplify the broadcasting of football for Latino and Hispanic audiences since baseball and soccer are the passion sports for our communities. But I want people to live the moment, so I keep my narration to translating to listeners what the key elements are, touchdown, field goal, while I add emotion and passion that Hispanics have for any other sport. Si, señor, and no, señor, are very simple words that people who speak English or Spanish understand. It's a style that I've developed for bilingual Hispanics so that all listeners get the feeling of the game despite the language. That's really cool. Because as someone who dabbles in Spanish but is not fluent, I understood. Now, I knew the context as well, but he did dumb it down for me. I would have been able to tell you what happened had I not seen it. And I was listening to his broadcast, so I think that that's very cool. It goes on to say, you've had airplay before for your si, señor calling. What do you think made this one go viral? Well, Philadelphia lives and dies with the Eagles. I believe this has been like crazy glue today because English-speaking announcers have highlighted last night's game. It's true. Like it was fun. I hope that we maybe get away. Like, I think that we have to, like, everyone has to be buttoned up and super professional when it comes to calls in English. But the ones that we remember outside of, like, legendary and outside of we'll see you tomorrow night, stuff like that, the ones that you remember are the crazy moments. Like, if you're a favorite announcer, that's what you remember. What are you doing, Wagner? Like, that's the type of stuff that you remember. So I love that Ricky Ricardo, yes, that is that man's name, is out there doing crazy stuff on the call. You knew what happened, and he enjoyed it. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Dave,
how
turn,
you doing?
Turn your radio off for me, my man.
Well, how you doing?
Good.
You know what? I think what is the guy's name that that you said it would be a good defensive coach?
I've brought up a bunch of guys tonight.
No, I mean, Buddy Ryan's son.
Rex,
yes. I think he'd be the right choice.
I was kidding about that, Dave. I was just having a little fun. I don't think that's what they should do. Like, if they did it, I wouldn't be mad, but that wouldn't be my choice. How about I give away another Club Dub t-shirt? And thanks to the folks over at Bandwagon Champs for it. If you wear a large t-shirt and you're the sixth caller to the Scores contest line, 312-591-6700, we will hook you up with a large Club Dub shirt.
Be careful with these sizes. Be careful with these sizes, Lawrence.
Why?
We're going to get people texting in here saying, don't you know who listens to you? Come on.
I'm saving the XL for tomorrow. I'll give away the extra large tomorrow. I'm also going to give away some t-shirts via my podcast and Twitter. So if you're a fan of House of L, you're going to have an opportunity because I got three t-shirts that I'm going to give away over there. By the way, this week's episode of House of L is really good. Young broadcaster named Jory Perrys, who's from the area, went to Prairie Ridge High School, went to the University of Illinois. She was a cheerleader down there. We talked about a whole bunch of stuff, and it was terrific. So House of L, don't call a regular number. That's not the number. You lost. you already lost. If you picked up the call-in number and wanted to get on and talk about Rex Ryan, you have already lost. But you can check out this episode and every episode of House of L. Just search for House of L, like the letter L.
All over.
Search Spotify, you search iTunes, you search Stitcher, and you will find my podcast. Also, direct downloads at houseofl.libsyn.com. Thanks to Herb Lawrence for his fine work executive producing the show. Thanks to Christopher Dickens for his fine work doing the sound for the show. Tomorrow I'll be back from 6 until 6:30. A little shorty tomorrow. And then I'll probably make my way over to Fiesta Mexicana for its last night. That makes me, it's too bad. Bob in the Hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single game tickets are available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now, NUSports.com. Bulls basketball is next. I'll see you tomorrow at 6 here on The Score.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.